looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fly ball right field, pitching back to the wall, and that one gets out! It's a home run, sailing into the bullpen. J.D. Martinez sucks it out of here, and the Red Sox are out in front here in Toronto, just clearing the high fence.
So in case you weren't watching, and again, there's been a lot going on lately. Celtics played the playoffs last night, NFL draft, Bruins the night before. Red Sox took the final two in Toronto. They beat the Jays last night 5-4, the big hit. J.D. Martinez's three-run homer. You just heard it there. J.D. Martinez's three-run homer, 5-4 victory. They take 2 out of 3 from the Jays. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, open up the phone line. 617-779-0985. I got a bunch of things I want to get to from that game, really from the last couple of games. And then also we'll take a quick look at the Tampa Bay series this weekend. And Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports, who left us, he's in New York. Carabas is actually back in town for the weekend, so he'll be on the program a little bit later. We'll talk to him about the Red Sox, their start thus far. What is their record now? Are they 20-5? 19-5. 19-5 the Red Sox are, and boy, do I have good news for you on top of it. After having gone on this West Coast trip, Angels, A's, the surprising Blue Jays, the Blue Jays have actually been half decent. The Red Sox get to play the absolute dog crap of the American League for the next 10 days. That's what you're going to get. Dog crap. So you should be able to beat the crap out of the dog crap in the American League over the next 10 days. Tampa Bay is in here. Then Kansas City comes in here. And then the Red Sox go to Texas. And all of those teams suck. So the Red Sox should be able to clean up on some bad teams here over the next several days. Then after that, we'll get another half-decent series when they go to New York to play the Red Sox. But by the time the Red Sox get there, really? They could be, what, 20 games over 500? Something close to it? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. That happens when they get to New York.
Well, this is where we're going to really see what the Yankees are made of, too, because they've won 6 straight, and as you've been crowing the last couple of nights, look out behind you. Here come the Yankees. They're starting to hit, and they're now off to go take on the Angels, followed by the Astros, and I think it's Cleveland after that, so they have a much tougher test than the Red Sox have facing them here in the next couple of weeks.
So this isn't necessarily what I was planning on talking about tonight, Murray, but as you mentioned it, and the Yankee schedule is, it's going to be tough here in the next little bit. Does it help, just off the top of my head, does it help the Red Sox or hurt them if they run away with the American League East?
No, how can it possibly hurt them? What, because they need to face tougher competition?
I mean, I'm asking. I don't have an answer for
it
you.
Totally
I'm thinking
hurts
out loud.
Them. Go ahead. Because you need competition to see if you're really any good. It does no good if you just blow through the American League and then you get to a real team in the playoffs that's tested like Houston or Cleveland and they just blow doors on you.
Okay, so I tend to lean toward you, but didn't Houston blow away the field in the AL West last year? And they get to the playoffs and they did just fine. I'm not telling you I have an answer. I'm asking. I'm just wondering, because I believe in the competition. I do, generally.
Houston was a much more talented team than this Red Sox team is.
Yeah, well, they're getting these
teams
later.
And then they
went
out and got Justin Verlander, who's a dominant Cy Young caliber pitcher. You kind of do have that.
And it's not like they don't have these teams on their schedule as well, but the way it's set up right now, you know, make hay on these crap teams in the AL that are going to be in here, like Kansas City and like Tampa starting tonight, and hopefully the Yankees, you know, get beat up over their next 3 series. If you can get separation, that ain't a bad thing.
I mean, again, so Kansas City comes in here at the beginning of the week. They're 5-18. After that, the Red Sox go to Texas. They're 9-17. The Rays are 10-13, but the Red Sox beat them, what, 6 out of 7 to start the year? And we know that team is garbage. Really. So if the Red Sox play like they have been playing generally and they had a bad series in Oakland, they weren't great at the beginning of the Toronto series. Of their next 9-10 games, they could win 7 or 8 of them. Get 5 more, get to 25-6 or whatever the hell the record's going to be. Like, really. And by the time they face New York, they could be 20 games over 500. Now, that said, I don't think they're perfect. And for those of you who didn't watch the game last night, and this is really one of my primary takeaways from last night's game, boy, am I getting sick of Andrew Benintendi in a fast way. I am getting really sick of him. First of all, that whole thing in Oakland with the no-hitter and hits don't grow on trees and they took a hit away from me, as I said the other day, shut up. The ball wasn't hard hit. They called you for going out of the baseline. You deserve to get no hit. And frankly, at the end of the day, who cares? If you get one hit or no hits, if you lose the game, who really cares? But that aside, last night, for those of you that weren't watching, the Red Sox were down 2-0 in the third inning. I'll take you through the inning quickly. Vasquez struck out, Holt doubled, and pulled his hamstring in the process. We'll get more to him on We'll get to him more on him later. Mookie Betts then flied out. Benintendi doubled to score Lynn. Now it's 2-1. Hanley walked. So you have first and second in a 2-1 game with J.D. Martinez at the plate. And you know what happened? This.
Play on his second, a tag, and he's out. Benintendi out at second. And that will retire the side, a pickoff. And Cora is up with a hand in the air. We'll see if he decides to challenge this play.
Let's take another look. The throw's right on the money. And I don't think you can overturn that.
And he will not challenge it. That is out number three.
Yeah, that is a bad base running play.
Amen, Jerry Remy. But it's not a bad base running play. It is a horrendous base running play. First and second, 2-1, and the hitter you just paid $22 million a year to comes up to the plate, and you get picked off second base? And if this were a one-time thing, I'd let it go. Benintendi's really starting to bug the crap out of me. He was a bad base runner last year. He's still a bad base runner this year. He had an attitude in the minor leagues, according to the whispers, and it seemed like everything was good last year in his rookie season, but then that thing with the no-hitter in Oakland really kind of annoyed me. So you have that with the bad base running, and what I would say to Benintendi, coupled with, Murray, as you pointed out, the continued inability to hit left-handed pitching. Okay, so I look at all of that with Benintendi, and I say, time to start living up to the hype. Okay, you had a good year last year. Time to start living up to the hype. And stop getting picked off at second base with a cleanup hitter up. The base running mistakes with this guy are driving me absolutely freaking bananas. They happen over and over and over again. And for a guy who feels like a natural at the plate and in the batter's box, boy, does he make some stupid-ass decisions.
Well, ever since he came up, even in the field, you've seen mental lapses with this kid.
So the fly, just going to bring it up, the fly ball in Cleveland in the playoffs. Yeah. He fell asleep, and the catcher tagged up from first to second. It just feels like Andrew Benintendi makes a lot of mental mistakes. 1-for-18 this year against left-handed pitching on top of it, with 7 strikeouts. So I'm just, stop acting like you're better than you are. Until you're good. Until you are consistently good. Oh my God, is that guy driving me bananas? And apparently, I'm not alone. Matt is in Sharon. He joins us first. Go ahead, Matt.
First things first, thank you so much for bringing up Benintendi. I knew he was the guy you were talking about before you even brought him up. His base running, like you said, has been absolutely terrible. As somebody who likes to bet the Red Sox -1.5 on occasion, you know, the other night, I'm just being honest, the other night he's on third base in the eighth inning, and he had the chance to tag up, and he blames the umpire for being in his way so he couldn't see the fly ball. He stays on third, he doesn't score. We win by a run. I mean, are you kidding me, Benintendi? Like, come on.
Okay, so Matt, honestly, I don't care about the spread. I don't. I understand, and listen, I've been there. Okay, I've been there. So we've all been there. But that's not the part I care about. This kid's got ability. It feels to me like he's got his head wedged between his cheeks. How many mental mistakes can one guy make in a short big league career? Really? How many mental mistakes? Watch the guy in the batter's box. He's a natural. But getting picked off second base with your cleanup hitter up? Good God. Mike's in a car. Mike, go.
Yeah, look, Tony, you hit it right on the head to start the show. They're leaving runs on the bases, and right now they're playing close games. And maybe it's not going to be a factor over the next couple of weeks when they're playing the garbage, But when they go up against the Yankees, they cannot afford to leave runs out there on the bases when you got some of your best hitters up. You can't have a guy like Martinez, potentially Betts, these big hitters coming up to bat with guys on the bases, ducks on the pond, guys who we know up to bat who can knock it out of the park, and you're going to get picked off second, or you're going to make a bonehead play and get thrown out on contact, going a third, or not be able to tag up. It's a fundamental part of the game that these guys are getting paid a bunch of money to do. They're either not paying attention to their base coaches, or they're completely checked out thinking that their speed is going to make up for it, and it's not.
Yeah, so Mike, again, the base running mistakes universally are an absolute issue. There's no two ways about it. Okay, they are. At the moment, I am more irritated with Ben Attendee. I know, again, that he is part of this Red Sox youth and this millennial core that can do no wrong in the eyes of everybody. Okay, I know the fan base loves him. I like him as a player, too. But the reality with this guy is, or the myth is starting to exceed the reality. My God, does he make an unbelievable number of mental mistakes. And I'm glad the caller brought up the tag-up play at third base the other night. I believe it or not, I actually think he got screened by the umpire. I do. And he couldn't see it. He had to retreat to the bag, rather, and then couldn't score because of it. He left early, couldn't see that the right fielder had caught the ball, had to go back and tag, and then couldn't score. In the same game, by the way, Jackie Bradley made a mistake where he thought a ball was going to get caught in left field. It didn't. He's standing on third when the base runner almost comes and passes him. They only got one run on a play where they should have gotten two. But Benintendi's driving me bananas. I just feel like he acts better than he is. And I believe in sort of proving yourself in anything, let alone the major leagues. This guy's base running has sucked since he got to the big leagues. It sucks. He makes too many mental mistakes. Drives me crazy. So it may not show up here in the next 10 days. You're going to get garbage teams again. Congratulations. You'll be 26-6 or whatever the hell you want your record to be. Because you play garbage teams. But against the good teams, I shouldn't say that. They killed the Angels. But they didn't play great in this series in Toronto. They took 2 out of 3. I'll stick to Benintendi. He's driving me nuts. I want to get to another area that the Red Sox are really irritating me in. And also, Brock Holt on the disabled list, which means the return of Xander Bogaerts in the lineup. We'll touch on that, too, next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the 3-2 coming. He popped him up. Sky high on the right side of the diamond. Moreland is there. Underneath it, he backs up. He's got it, and the Red Sox have won it. They win the series here in Toronto.
So as it turned out, Craig Kimbrel pitched in all three games. If you remember, the Red Sox brought him into a tie game in the opener there. He gave up a home run to Curtis Granderson to lose. Got saves the last two nights. I can't imagine that Craig Kimbrel will be available tonight. I don't know, maybe Cora has said that already before the game tonight against the Rays. Hopefully you won't need him because Tampa sucks. So you might be able to blow them out, and you can close with whoever you want. But remember, you don't have, again, you don't have Kimbrel tonight in all probability. Joe Kelly's in a suspension. So that leaves Matt Barnes, Carson Smith, Heath Hembree. Who am I missing? Anybody else, Jimmy, that could potentially close? One of those guys, right? It's got to be one of them. So you're a little thin in the late innings. You get into a tight game tonight, that one could really bite you. That could bite you in the ass because you don't have a ton of options out there. The other thing is that Xander Bogaerts is back. He is in the starting lineup. He's been activated. Brock Holt has gone to the disabled list. Holt pulled a hamstring last night going into second base on a double during that third inning rally that I mentioned. The third inning rally that Andrew Benintendi undermined. But nonetheless, Holt to the DL. Holt has played well lately. I'll give him credit for that. But honestly, no need to rush back. Take your time. I think Su Wei Lin's a better player anyway. Murray, you have the whole starting lineup right there in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Betts in right leading off. Hanley Ramirez, DH, batting second. Martinez in left, batting third. Moreland, first base, batting cleanup. Bogaerts, obviously, back at short, batting fifth. Nunez at third. in batting sixth, JBJ in center, seventh, Christian Vasquez behind the plate batting eighth, and Zhu Weilin is going to be the second baseman batting ninth.
So what's the 7-8-9 again? I'm sorry.
Bradley, Vasquez, Lin.
And Hanley is batting second.
Right.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay, so rather than move someone like Nunez up to the top of the order, Cora just pushes everybody up, and so there's your batting order for tonight. And again, Bogaerts is back. We'll see how that one looks. It's unfortunate that he got hurt at all because he was playing great early in the year. We'll get back to your calls. Angelo, who is in Methuen, my buddy Angelo. Go ahead, Angelo.
Hi, Anthony. Yeah. My opinion, maybe it won't mean much here. I don't think they should put Bogey at the shot tonight. Or he just got off, what, an ankle injury?
So, yeah, he had a crack bone in his foot, though, Angelo. It wasn't like a sprain, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, you never know in this weather, you know? Rounding the bases, something could happen or whatever.
So, Angelo, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting point. I mean, maybe on a night like tonight, you delay Bogaerts' return by a day. As it turned out, the timing for the Red Sox was perfect. Really perfect. Bogaerts was set to come back tonight no matter what. They weren't going to play him on the road, and I don't think they wanted to play him on the turf in Toronto. So from that standpoint, Holt gets hurt in the game last night, like uncanny, to the point where you like half wonder whether it was legit. But you could always option Lynn back to the minors. So I absolutely think the injury was real, and again, Holt was playing well. But the timing was downright perfect. So Hanley hits second. He's the DH. Moreland is at first base. And Hanley's going to bat second. Interesting. AJ is in Derry, New Hampshire.
Hey, Tony. A couple of weeks ago, you wanted Holt off the team. I think he did a pretty good job filling in for Bogaerts.
He did.
Just curious if your opinion's changed on that.
My opinion has not changed, but he did do a good job.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just not a Brock Holt fan, AJ. I am also worried about their bullpen and their ability to fill a need at midseason or at the trading deadline. And Holt, to me, is making a couple of million bucks. So it's not huge money, but when you are up against it like the Red Sox are, in terms of not wanting to go over that threshold of $237 million, I would rather have the couple of million-dollar cushion on top of what I've already have. So I just don't see an appreciable difference between Brock Holt and Zhu Weilin. I think Zhu Weilin's a little better than Brock Holt, if you want to know the truth. Holt has more experience, but I don't see why they had to keep Brock Holt on this team. I don't. Doesn't mean I think he totally sucks, but to me, I'd rather have Zhu Weilin. Derek is in Marshfield. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, man. So I just wanted to preface this by saying I like Devers, and I definitely want him on the team, but his fielding is just terrible this year, and it obviously hasn't improved. I think he's up to like 5 errors already this year. I remember 2 specific plays where, you know, he made a diving stop or knocked down the ball, and then he basically threw the ball like into the grass right by the pitcher's mound or either launched it over the first baseman's head. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that and what we're planning to do about that, his fielding there.
So, Derek, he had a tough road trip, particularly at the end. I mean, early in the year, honestly, I thought that Devers was playing pretty good defense. In fact, they all were. Of late, it's gotten a little bit worse, and I think they have 6 errors as a team, and he has 5 of them, something like that. So for the most part, they've been pretty sure-handed. He had one the other night where he threw the ball about 10 feet to Hanley Ramirez's left and above his head. Hanley really had no shot, and not that Hanley is the most agile guy in the world over there anyway, but Devers' defense has. It slipped here a little bit. It's something to keep an eye on. Ted's in a car. Go, Ted.
Tony, how you doing? Nice to talk to you. Benintendi, you bring up a great point. He's on second base. He's in scoring position. He's not going to steal third. There's 2 outs, so he's going to get a good break. He's got nothing to gain by hanging off the back so far.
Ted, it is a horrible base running play. Horrible. On top of it, you had your cleanup man at the plate. You got a 2-out rally going. You're on the road. You're on second base. 2-out. All of the things you said. And you get picked off?
Yeah, that's my point. So you made up the thing where he made a stink about the no-hitter in his little single that he didn't get. Well, maybe he took a ribby away from JD. Those are hard to come by, too.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the individual stats. I hear you. I just, honestly, I think he was whining about the fact that they got no hit. They got no hit. And so he thought he had a hit, and they took it away from him. Ultimately, I don't care who gets the hit. And I don't care if they get no hit, one hit, six hit. I don't care. A loss is a loss is a loss. So I'm not sure why Benintendi was lamenting it. And I admit that I am basing some of this on the notion that in the minor leagues, he had a little bit of an attitude. He was a cocky kid. That was sort of the word on Benintendi. In fact, not just cocky, but kind of a dink. So he came here. Maybe it's because he was young. Maybe it's because he was a rookie. He seemed to fit right in. He is another one that did the wind dance repeat in the outfield. Oh, that's great. And again, we're all for clubhouse chemistry and karma. But he had a mental mistake in the outfield in the playoffs in 2016. He hasn't hit left-handed pitching. He's 1-for-18. And his base running mistakes from the beginning of last year to now have happened with far too great a frequency. He makes a ton of base running mistakes. And he fell asleep in the outfield during the playoffs. So I would say to Benintendi, until you get that stuff cleaned up, don't start bitching about an umpire's calling a no-hitter when it's your hit. Who cares? Who cares? He's really starting to irritate me. Not that he particularly cares about that either. Bob's in Dedham.
Hey, Tony. We're on the subject of Benintendi. I mean, he makes a myriad of base running mistakes. It's dumbfounding because the kid, he's been a stud his whole life. Which, you know, he's had the best AAU coaching, his best high school coaching, D1 coaching at Arkansas. It's staggering to me that this kid is as clueless as he is on the bases. And I'll give you an example. This one, last fall, when they were playing the Astros in the playoffs, he was on first base in game four. There was a line drive to shortstop, and he got doubled off. And to me, if you're on first base and there's no play on, or you're not stealing, or there's not a hit and run, you should never, ever, ever get doubled off first base on a line drive to third or short. Do you agree with me on that?
Well, look, I would say, you know, sometimes if you're leaning one way and the shortstop makes a great play, I don't know that I'm ever going to say never, Bob. But
Tony, it wasn't even a great play. It was just a line drive right at the guy.
Yeah.
And it was the fact that it was Benintendi, and he'd been running like a dope all year like everybody else had. I lost my mind. And I think I called in one of the shows, and a lot of people cut him some slack and didn't think it was that big a deal. To me, it was absolutely egregious, and I couldn't understand it. But it's fascinating to me that he's as bad as he is on the bases, and it's going to cost him.
So, Bob, I'll tell you what. I don't remember the specific play. Okay, I don't remember it. I'll go back and look for it, and I'll take your word for it. So, he's a bad base runner. Fact, plain and simple, bad base runner. He gets thrown out way too many times. And last night is as bad as it gets. On second base, two outs with your best hitter, in theory, up at the plate. You're down 2-1. It was early in the game. Okay, it was the third inning. But you get picked off second with two outs when at the crack of the bat, you're going to be running to come home anyway? That is horrendous. I'm sorry. And you pile it on top of all the other ones he's made? The guy sucks as a base runner. And it feels like he's got too many instincts and too much going for him to be that bad on the bases. Boy, is that just driving me crazy with Benintendi. I was clicking around last night like most people, but I caught that one, believe me, and it left a mark. Clearly.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Joe in Worcester on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Tony. How are you? Nice talking to you.
You too.
So I got a question for you. I've noticed that in his first couple of starts, Sale's been sitting at about 92 to 94 with a fastball. He normally sat 95 to 97 last year. Is this part of the whole, we're going to ease him into the season and have him fresh for the playoffs? Or do you think there might be a sign of somebody who is a tall, thin guy with a violent delivery starting to break down? I'll hang up and hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay, so Chris, it's a good question. Okay, because the numbers are down a little, but I think Sale hit 98 last night. Okay, I think he hit 98. And so I don't think it's an issue of health. Or I don't think that's it. A couple of years ago in Chicago, his velocity numbers went down a little bit as well. And it was because they wanted to implement the same plan. They wanted Sale to be more efficient, save his legs, save his bullets, so that come September and October, he would have more left in the tank. And so I think what you're seeing out of him now, he threw a ton of changeups last night. But beyond that, you're seeing more two-seam fastballs. You're seeing fewer fastballs at max effort. So I don't think it's a physical thing. Also, the overall velocity is down. It's early in the year still, in part because if you remember that really cold game, who the hell did they play that day? Baltimore, I think it was. In the really, really cold weather, Fenway and Sale himself said he wasn't going to throw more than about 88 miles an hour because he knew that they couldn't feel the bats anyway. So now look, maybe he lied. Maybe he covered something up. But I don't think they'd be sending him out there still with the record being what it is if there was any kind of issue. To me, it's all part of the plan. Okay, it's all part of the plan with Chris Sale. And I know all those people who complain every time they don't score runs for Sale. He got a win last night, so you should be happy. As if the number of wins Chris Sale gets really matters. Ultimately, as long as the team's getting W's, no big deal. Now, usually with an ace, it goes hand in hand. The more games he wins, the better off you are. But Sale didn't have it last night. The home run he gave up to Smoke was on a slider. And frankly, I thought his slider was garbage last night. Based on the ones that I saw, the pitch didn't have its usual bite. As promised, I told you Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports joins us now via telephone. Apparently, he's in town for the weekend after having relocated to New York a year ago. So, Jared, it's been some time since we've spoken, pal. How you feeling about your team?
Tony, World Series, baby. Let's go. Who are you sitting next to?
What's up, cuz?
How are you doing, cuz? How are you doing? We haven't had a family get-together to talk about how great this baseball team is.
Okay, so tell me, Jared, that do you think there's any fluky element to this, or do you think they're this good?
Are you asking me if I think that the Red Sox win total is inflated because of the competition that they played against, Tony?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking you, yes.
I'm going to go with no.
So you think that what you're seeing is the real thing?
Oh, it's the real deal, baby. This is the real deal. And listen, I think all the points about the competition are valid. However, they've played some good teams. Now the Yankees are a good team. I would say they're a good team. They beat them up pretty good. They took 2 out of 3 there. The 14-1 game. And I think for the most part, instead, take out the record. Look at some of the individual performances. Mookie Betts, is that a fluke start? No, he's a superstar. Look at some of the pitching performances. Chris Sale, Rick Porcello. I mean, Rick Porcello right now, I obviously expect some regression from him. But we've seen that he can actually be a very good to top-of-the-line starter. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, is more of the individual performances versus just what the record is. Because obviously the record will pan out to, 93, 94, 95 wins around there. But you're not seeing fluky individual performances that you wouldn't expect to see.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions then, Jared. Okay, bigger picture questions. Despite the record, and obviously the record's been sensational. I mean, they overall, again, they went to Anaheim and cleaned up on that team. So even when they've played good teams, they have played well. Mm-hmm. But despite the record, what is your biggest concern? When you look at them, what worries you the most?
I would say building the bridge to Craig Kimbrel is a big one. Tyler Thornburg, is he even a real person? Not sure. Joe Kelly, he's sort of hit or miss. Matt Barnes, he's looked good so far, but you trust that guy in a postseason game. You lose Addison Reed. Carson Smith hasn't looked like the guy that you've been promised so far. And to this point, none of that has really come back to bite you. But if this is a playoff team and you want to go deep into a playoff series, you look at what the trajectory is or the trends in baseball, and that would be that starting pitchers don't necessarily go deep into starts in the postseason. I know that I'm looking way far ahead here, but let's just peg the Red Sox as a postseason team. I would say that the bullpen is probably number one, because can you picture, bases loaded, seventh inning, and it's a one-run game, and you need someone to come out of the bullpen, and out comes Matt Barnes or Carson Smith or Joe Kelly? Do you feel confident in that situation?
No.
I think right now the answer is probably no.
Yeah, no, I don't feel comfortable in that situation. And I mentioned this to Murray earlier, too. The next 10 games are going to be against Lambs again, Jared. And not that I need to tell you.
By the way, the Rays have won 6 straight games. Please let's not speak ill of these Tampa Bay Rays. They are
red hot.
Yeah, and they still suck. So the Red Sox have 10 games coming up here against Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and Texas. Kansas City and Texas are both in last place. Tampa Bay isn't in last place, but they have a losing record, and the only reason they're not is because Baltimore's worse. So let's just say this continues to go the way it goes, Jared. Okay, let's say the Red Sox run away with the division and effectively go wire to wire after opening day. Does that help them or hurt them come playoff time?
Oh, that hurts them, but I also don't expect that to happen. Right? The Yankees are in it. You know, they obviously have their slow start, but they're either, what, 3 or 4 games back now? They leapfrog Toronto. So, yeah, it is going to be a two-dog race. I don't think that they're just going to go wire to wire and there's going to be no competition, sort of like the 2007 Red Sox. I don't see it being like that. And you also, you have the Houston Astros. They play them at the end of next month. That's going to be a good measuring stick for them. Like, Garrett Cole's been unbelievable. Charlie Morton's been good. Justin Verlander's been good. So they'll get their tests along the way. But, you know, is it a situation where they're going to have an inflated record because there's a lot of mediocre to suck bag teams? Yeah, that's probably going to be the case. But so you play who you play.
Okay, so just out of curiosity, though, because I'm not sure it's clear to me yet whether it would help them or hurt them. Why do you think it would hurt them if they ran away with it?
Oh, I mean, if it's you're not facing the competition that you're about to face in October. You have this inflated sense of superiority, and then you run into a Houston or you run into a Cleveland. You know, you're not prepared for that because you don't play those guys as much because they're not in your division.
Did Houston play teams like that last year?
At the moment, I would not know, but I would assume that they played some good teams last year.
Well, the reason I bring them up is because they got off to such a great start. They were way ahead. They won the division by 20 games. They didn't play.
Yeah, but that was, if you look at last year's Houston team and you tell me they won 101, 102 games, whatever it was, I wouldn't look at that and say, oh, that's an inflated record. I would look at that Houston team and say, yeah, that makes complete sense. Like, I think of the 2009 Angels or whatever it was. They won like 105 games. The 2004 Cardinals won 105 games. That's the teams where it's like, oh, yeah, that's a little inflated. But the Houston Astros last year, they were a force.
Okay, so again, we're on with Jared. I'm with Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports. I got a couple of more questions for you. What is your opinion of Benintendi as a player?
Oh, he's a good player. He's got a lot to prove. And I think that as far as how high we were on him, or probably still are on him, I don't think that the idea in our minds of Andrew Benintendi has been reflected on the baseball field just yet. And I think he doesn't catch enough flack for his base running ability. I feel like that's almost like a nightly thing where we're like, what the hell was he doing there on the base path?
Jared, he sucks as a base runner. He sucks.
I know that. That's kind of what I'm getting at. He's not a very good base runner. And it's almost baffling now that he's been on the roster for what? He got called up. He got drafted in 15, got called up in 16, so now parts of 3 years.
It's almost two full seasons, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure at what point we're going to see improvement in terms of base running. But even despite the low batting average, he's still getting on base. So that as a number two guy, which I don't expect him to be when Dustin Pedroia comes back, right now as a two-hitter, he's fine as a two-hitter because he still gets on base. But I do expect Pedroia to take over that spot when he's healthy enough to come back.
Okay, last question I have for you concerns the catching situation. I think it was Vasquez last night, 0-for-4. The Red Sox have the worst OPS from the position of any team in the American League. Their catchers are completely, totally inept offensively. I look at that and say, why doesn't Blake Swihart get some reps behind the plate, particularly in this next 10-game stretch where they are playing garbage, and it's a good opportunity to see whether he can give you anything there? Why doesn't Blake Swihart play him? Would you play him there?
Alex Cora talked about that a little bit. He said, like, right now that's not in the plans, but he did kind of leave the door open to maybe we'll consider that if this continues. I think for, you know, Vasquez quietly hit basically 300 last year. So I think he's given him a little time to get going. I think Vasquez at this point deserves the benefit of the doubt. I think that his defense, personally, between San Leon and Vasquez, I value defense in that position more than offense. And the Red Sox certainly haven't had problems scoring runs. So I'm fine with them going with Vasquez and Leon, just hoping that
the law of averages will play out and Vasquez will eventually start hitting a little bit. And you don't really need Sandy to hit a ton because he's essentially Chris Sale's personal catcher and you want to keep that guy happy.
All right, Jared, don't be a stranger.
Anytime, Tony. Anytime you want me, I am here for you.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Have a good one.
All right, Jared, Carrabba's Barstool Sports. What do you got, Murray? Anything?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to say I wanted to ask him how much he missed Saugus, which I'm sure is, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 50 for him.
Gotcha. Sorry, I would have left him on. No, I knew you wanted to ask him something.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.